once again. Every Sunday in the studio, Teen Trends with Dave and Friends on LATalkRadio.com, the best talk station in the world. How's it going, guys? How's everybody feeling today? This is Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. I'm your host, David Cohen, and we have some in-studio friends today. We got Aiden.
Why, hello.
Why, hello. We got Kevin.
How's it going?
And myself. This is the show where we talk about everything from teen problems to parents to girls to guys, relationships to religion.
Teen troubles, just vaguely.
Teen troubles, and
we're here to help you.
We're here to help you, you know? There's so many different ways of viewing life. You know, like, so many different perspectives, especially from a teen, you know?
Because,
like,
this is... It varies quite a bit.
It
does definitely indeed. Aren't adults.
Yeah.
We think the way you do.
Yeah. this is the part of the human experience where we are growing, we're blossoming, and we're forming into who we will be as adults, and we are impacting, even being teenagers, we are impacting this world in a more prominent way than we realize. We really do. On the show today, as you know, we have a weekly topic. I want to change things up a bit today. I got a lot of emails from listeners, and last show, I didn't get to cover as many emails as I'd like to, you know, because, like, that's what it's about. You know, you email me, and then I talk about it on the show, and I help you out. And if we don't have time for that, then what's the point?
Yeah.
So we get to it.
But for the main topic of the show today, we want to focus a lot on parents. We want to focus...
parents with their kids.
Parents with their kids, yes.
Like, how they deal with their teens and discipline and all that.
That's a big one. Because... you know, on the show, we've touched on, you know, parents and, like, how parents deal with their teens, like, what are their teens doing? Are they doing drugs? Are they having sex? You know, of course that's going to be on parents' minds. You know, we've touched on that before, but, you know, later in the show, we're going to get into, you know, kind of what is, you know, from the teen perspective, what's logical and what's appropriate. Yeah. But that's for later. Mm-hmm. So right now I want to get to a few emails. Goes, hi, Dave. This is from Terry. Okay? Hi, Dave. Me and my friends really get bored and end up just hanging out. I started watching the show about doing things for other people, like volunteering. What are some suggestions you could give us? Well, Terry, that's really cool, first of all. I don't really get, you know, a lot of emails from people saying, like, hey, how can I volunteer? You know? A lot of it's mostly about just, like, oh, you know, my boyfriend broke up with me, and, you know, which isn't bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad at all. That's why we're here, you know, but that's, go Terry, go volunteer. All right, well, to answer your question, volunteering has lots of benefits because you are helping others and learning more and about people and their needs. And volunteering helps get rid of boredom, which we can gain personal satisfaction from just lending a helping hand. That's what it's all about, man.
From the school I go to, my perspective on volunteering is to really give a hand to the community that you live in.
Right.
That is the main aspect of volunteering, the main purpose.
Right.
To just be there for your community because they're constantly there for you. And to give that environment you're in that positive aspect of you're here to aid them.
Exactly. And along with that, on previous shows, we always talk about how
spreading the positive energy.
Spreading the positive energy. There you go.
I remember we touched upon just spreading that energy and, like, say, this is just touching back.
Yeah.
But say there's someone on the side of the road having car troubles.
Right.
There's no reason why you wouldn't stop and, like, pull over for maybe 5-10 seconds just to ask them if they need any help.
Right.
Like, if you have that time to give. It's just like that. Just,
you know, it's the fact of putting yourself out there. Another thing about positive energy is I've said this before as well. This world, I believe, and I know that Kevin and Aiden believes as well because we've talked about this. This world revolves around how each individual affects their surroundings.
Yeah.
Let it be in a negative way or a positive way. Okay. If you put energy into something, putting energy into something as simple as, talking about something, you know, talking, giving information, you know, whatever that may be. If you're putting energy into it, then that is, you know, that's going to affect it. So you lend a helping hand. You know, affect your surroundings in a positive way, which sheds, you know, it's all about shedding it. We're getting off topic, but Terry, we agree with you on the whole volunteering thing. Some things that you can do to help your community and volunteer, helping with the Special Olympics. Oh, that's a good one. For more than 40 years, the Special Olympics have made it possible for athletes with intellectual and physical disabilities from different nationalities to come together
and
compete.
That's a very good one.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? Another one is reading is a fundamental program. Reading is a critical skill that everyone should know how to do. Some children may have slow reading skills and could use some help to sharpen their reading abilities. Yeah.
Yeah.
But help some, you know,
see, helping the kids.
Those are all pretty big things.
They are.
So, I mean, they don't have to revolve around those big things.
Oh, not
like,
at all.
When
not
I'm at
all.
School, I, like, for instance, there are maintenance men at my school, and whenever I see them doing a job, I help them.
That's really cool.
That's pretty good.
You should just, small things like that to... Yeah. Give a hand to the community.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to be something that goes in the record books. And
right.
Okay, you did 2 hours of community service.
No.
Good job.
It's not about that. Yeah. It's not about, like, it's not about the recognition.
Yeah.
You know? It's more about, it's something within you. You know, it's something that each individual has to find within themselves. It's that, you know, that almost instinct. I want to say instinct, but at the same time, like, there's so many things, like, in this world that kind of, like, draws me away from saying this, but, like, that instinct to just be genuinely nice.
Yeah.
You know?
It comes back.
Oh, no, it totally comes back. It totally comes back, you know?
I mean, and even if you don't believe in karma, if you do something nice for somebody, they're gonna think, oh, this is a nice guy.
Right.
I'm gonna help him out. It's not necessarily, oh, you save a cat from a tree, you're gonna... find $5 on the ground.
Right.
I mean, it can work out like that, but I mean, that's all just probability. It doesn't necessarily go that way.
Right.
People will acknowledge that you've been doing things.
Exactly.
And they'll give you a hand.
Yeah. Go on.
But, like, don't do it for the acknowledgement. It's doing it to help the community, and it does feel, like, very self-gratifying, just, like, helping people out, and, like, you just feel so much better within yourself, and, like, you've, like, impacted people positively.
Right.
I think we should move on to a next email.
Yeah, I agree. Dear Dave, this is from a parent, which is cool.
These are always interesting.
These are, right? Dear Dave, I have two teenagers, 15 and 17, and they're always complaining that me and their mom don't understand them. As a parent, I know that understanding is the first step towards better communication and open relationships. So what suggestions would you give me and other parents to help understand their teens well? Parent, I wish you'd put a name on the email so I can refer to you so you can know who I'm speaking to. That's funny that you gave me this email, because that is a lot of what our topic today is going to revolve around. So, Aiden, go for it. I see you opening your mouth. You're like, I want to speak.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, so I know of a quick scenario. Girl isn't allowed to sleep out, comes home, her parents understand, one of the parents is against it, the other is for it, and the one that's for it completely understands, and when she comes home, she says, the mom says,
right.
Okay, here, do you want us to go sit in the room? We'll just go be in the room and you guys can be out here, okay?
Yeah.
And then they give them their space because they understand that if one of them doesn't want them out, then the other one will give them that security at home.
Right.
And give them their own space at home. That's one thing that can keep you from... Because I understand that it could make you anxious.
Yeah. And, you know, your parents, like in the next room.
Because Well, no. It could make the parents anxious. They don't really know what you're doing. They just know you're sleeping at a house.
That's true.
But if they're here at home, you make them feel secure. You let them have fun at home. Don't just, like...
Yeah.
Don't be walking around the house, because believe it or not, I don't think your kids want to spend time with you when you're with your friends.
Yeah.
So
it's nothing against the parents. Nothing against them at all. You know,
yeah,
we love our friends. You want to spend time with
your
friends.
Like, but it's like, you know, you have parent time, which is okay. You know, I love you.
I love my parents so much.
Dude, I love my parents to death.
But you see, you know, my parent time and my friend time shouldn't coincide.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Right.
And as a parent, you just need to understand that. And, you know, if you're completely comfortable with giving them space outside of your house, then do it. That would be completely understanding them.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you don't,
yeah,
let them feel that security, that fun, that social environment instead of the family home. Yeah, let's sit around the dinner table and
big
just,
old family
just
with all the friends.
Give them their space at home if you can't let them do it out.
Right. I feel that. Something that along with that, I do want to say is with you know, with a 15 and a 17-year-old, you know, which just, you know, this is what this woman emailed me. 15, 17-year-old. There's a huge difference between a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old. 15-year-old is freshman, you know, in...
Freshman, sophomore.
Okay. 17-year-old is, you know, junior, senior.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting older. And between, oh my gosh, if I were to take myself at 15 years old and take myself now at 17 years old,
the difference
is immaculate. It's ridiculous.
I have one more little tidbit to add in.
Yeah.
Parents at their age think 2 years is nothing. Like, oh,
right.
I'm 41?
Right?
Okay, well, 2 years ago I was 39. What's the difference? You know,
right.
One 10 place? That, honestly, when you're a teenager, you have to understand that the difference from being a freshman and a junior is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. As a freshman, you just get into high school.
Yeah.
You're like just getting
completely
into
new
that scenario.
Yeah.
You don't really understand yourself completely. You're probably just making friends in high school, just really getting secure with yourself.
Right.
As a junior, you have friends. You want to go out. You want to sleep at their house.
Right.
You have a car. You have more freedom.
Exactly. A car.
So many different.
Oh my! How much? I just want to throw out there. How much does a car completely warp life?
Yeah, like before you have a car, you're like confined at home, can't stay out late. Parents have to pick you up here and there.
Right.
Once you have a car,
and then
you are free.
And then think of just like, you know, older people listening and. A car? I remember when I had a car 20 years ago. Like, that's ridiculous. No, yeah. You know, that just goes to show you, like, how much, like, how of the little differences, you know, like, how much each little segment of the teenage life is affected. We have a caller. I'm going to take this really quick. You are on the air live, Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. This is Dave. How's it going?
Okay, hi. It's
Corinne. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you say that one more time?
Hi guys.
Hi, how's it going? Who are we speaking to?
Hmm?
Who are we speaking to?
This is Corinne.
How's it going, Corinne?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. What can we help you with?
I was just listening to you talk about that dad who's written in about you know, how to like communicate with his teen.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to ask you something.
All right, go for it.
First of all, I love you guys. I always listen to you guys.
Oh, thank you, Corinne. Thank you very much.
My dad is always lecturing me about, like, how it used to be for him. Like, oh, I never had cell phones, and we never could drive as much as you.
Yeah.
We didn't have computers, and you should be lucky that you have everything you have. And it just really bothers me because it goes into these big, long lectures about, you know, how hard it was. And I keep saying, like, well, it's not like that anymore. Like,
right. It's
different now.
Right.
He just doesn't get that this is the way we communicate. We text.
Yeah.
Right. Corinne, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I've had the exact same conversation with my dad as well. My dad's one of those people where, you know, you say, like, hey, you know, school, you know, dad, school's changed a little bit. You know, the homework's a little bit harder these days. And he's like, nope, I did the same thing. Nope, dad, you didn't.
You know, times have changed.
Yeah, it's nothing against I love my dad to death. I would do anything for my dad. But times really have completely warped. They are so different, you know. Yeah. Corinne, tell me, like, what specifically, like, what specifically is it that you get into arguments with your dad about, and how can we help you?
Okay. What happens is he thinks that when I'm with a family or dinner or whatever, that I'm always on the cell phone. I text a lot.
Okay.
And you're not paying attention. You've got to be with the family. And I can multitask.
Well, yeah.
I am paying attention, but I just, you know, I talk to my friends a lot.
I kind of understand what he's saying, though.
Yeah.
Because think about it. Your dad, does he give you space? Does he let you go out at night? Does he not call you all the time? I mean, is he kind of understandable about that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But I have, like, you know, curfew, and I have to call my parents where I'm at, let them know where I'm at, and who I'm with and stuff.
But
so
you go out, and they do give you your space. And the only thing they really want, or is there more that they want? I'm not sure if I'm left blank on that, but they just want to have some family time.
Yeah.
I think personally, a cell phone at the dinner table may be pushing it a little bit, because it is definitely family time. But back to, like, how he, like, lectures you with, like, history lessons pretty much on, like how it used to be. That's just, like, parents, it's really hard for a parent to, like, figure out how to communicate with a teen.
Yeah.
And they try to relate it to themselves somehow. So that's why they're, like, going back on those history lessons.
Right. But they can't relate it to themselves because it doesn't work.
And it doesn't work because times have changed so much. So it's just, like, this is a message to the parents. Don't pull those history lessons, you know, if you want to be able to relate to your teen.
I totally agree. And, Corinne, I'm going to have to second that motion with Kevin. You know, I totally get the exact same thing, you know, with the texting and, you know, calling at the dinner table. Yeah, like, you know, there's times for everything. And, you know, especially in today's society with technology and how much it's influenced everybody.
Yeah.
Like, literally, you walk down a street, there's not one person without at least a cell phone in their pocket, let alone an iPod. You know, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I mean, you know, people have what they say on it. But basically what I'm saying is, yeah, you know, maybe come to a compromise. Come to a compromise with, you know, yourself and your parents where, okay, I won't text at the dinner table. You know, let me, you know, I won't text at the dinner table if, you know, you don't, you know, give me a hard time for talking on the phone for an hour. You know, something.
Yeah, like,
you know.
Here.
Yeah.
If you say that you will respect the family time and you will really try and put yourself into that situation as fully as you can, then ask him to try and understand that there is a separate aspect to a teenage life besides being at home and coordinating with your family. Yeah. Try and, I mean,
teenagers are very, like, individual people. Like, they're trying to become, like, more individual.
Yeah. Right? And that's another great aspect that you should probably bring up with your parent, or your parents, if your mom is on that side as well.
Yeah.
Alrighty, Corinne, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I love you.
Oh, we love you too. Have a great day,
Corinne.
It was very sweet. Just in case you guys turned in, you're listening to Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. This is LATalkRadio.com, the best talk station in the world.
Check it out, guys.
Number one. if you guys want to call in like Corinne, speak to us about issues you have, problems, anything that's on your mind, please call us live on the air. The number is 323-203-0815. Once again, that number is 323-203-0815. Or you can email me at dcsboarding, that's BOARDING 514@AOL.com. Hit us up. We'll talk to you. We'll put a smile on your face. That's what we do. We just put a smile on your face. They're all laughing at me.
I promise we won't make you cry.
I swear. We will not make you angry.
Wait, next email?
I'm just playing. Yes, please. Let's get to the next email. Hey, Dave. Drum roll. Hey, Dave. I got very jealous at every turn with my ex-girlfriend. Every time she does not answer my page or when she is not at home, I get these thoughts. I'm sorry, Aiden, what were you saying?
Get very jealous at every turn with my girlfriend.
Thank you.
So.
Thank you. Hey, Dave. I get very... I get very jealous at every turn with my girlfriend. Every time she does not answer my page or when she is not at home, I get these thoughts of her being with someone else. She tells me she loves me and never will chat, will never cheat on me. Every time I get jealous, my stomach hurts and I can't sleep. I feel angry and hurt. I love her, but I keep thinking she is hiding something from me and I can't make these feelings go away. I don't know where to start to make things get better on my part. I try very hard to keep these thoughts out of my head, but they will not go away. I asked my girlfriend if she ever gets jealous with me, and she said no, and it hurt my feelings. It made me feel that she doesn't love me or even care. What can I do to get started on getting over this jealous trip? Me and her have been together for a year now, and I don't want it to go down the drain. Well...
Oh, wow.
let's see.
I've got a few things to say.
Go for it.
But
go for it, Aiden.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, you have to look at how you were treated in the past by girls.
Right. That's good.
Does that affect whether or not this is even probable? I mean, does she love you?
Yeah.
Because if you've been together for a while, I'm pretty sure she loves you.
And, you know, another thing that I just want to touch on, Aiden, what you said, love. Love, as a teenager, dude. Teenage love, just like that, like those two words right there, like teenage love, like, isn't that, you just like,
there's kind of a disconnect,
not, maybe not necessarily a disconnect, but more of like a big question mark, like teenage love. Okay. Yes. Love. Definitely. I will speak from experience in myself. I can tell you that I have been in what I believe is to be love, you know? I have had my quote-unquote high school sweetheart, my first love.
Yeah.
You know? But the thing about love is, like, I'm having a hard time.
You don't want to say love because, oh, hey, I'm a teenager. But, like, for certain people, like, really have it skewed within their mind. Like, oh, right. I'm in love with this person. We talk at school randomly.
Like this email. I'm relating it to right here, you know. She says she loves me and never will cheat on me.
I don't know. They have been together for a year.
A year.
Let's keep that in mind.
That's a significant amount of time.
Yeah, that's a very good amount of time.
A year.
I would say
that's like half a lifetime in high school, dude, a year.
A quarter.
Yeah.
I'd say at that point you know her well. She knows you well.
You respect her. Yeah.
She cares about you. I'd say it's established by then.
Right.
Easily. If it's like 3 months into it, and see, I've seen people 3 months into a relationship texting, oh, I love you too.
Right.
But it's like, really, dude?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
It's 3 months. 1 year, I would say, is reasonable to say that you're in love. But it's still kind of questionable considering the age.
Yeah.
But even if it is questionable, in her mind, she doesn't think that.
Right.
She thinks she's in love with you. And because of that, she is devoted to you.
Right.
So, but you still have to ask yourself, is it based on, and I say this just curious as to what the scenario is in your mind. Are you insecure in any way? Is that what's making you uncomfortable with this?
Yeah.
Were you treated poorly before? Think about whether or not it's probable.
You know, another thing, about this email, which I think this is at least half of, you know, the way that he's feeling, the reason he is, you know, she says that she loves you and she will never cheat on you, and you've been together for a year, just like we've been talking about. Another thing about it, which is right here, is I love her, but I keep thinking she is hiding from me and I can't make that feeling go away. What is it within yourself, or possibly something that has been displayed to you, like something that she has done in the past, to make you feel insecure? Because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of like subconscious subliminal messages. And,
that could be the case, though.
But it could not. But it couldn't at the same time.
So we have to approach it from that standpoint
and
ask him to acknowledge that, you know, that could be the case. Think about whether or not it is probable.
Like, is there probable cause for you to think that she is cheating on you?
A lot of the times in relationships, I'm speaking from personal experience, this guy was me in 9th and 10th grade.
Yeah.
I can straight up say that. And then it's just like, you get really, really attached with your first love.
Oh,
you get so attached.
It's ridiculous.
It's either, it could be this guy is just like wanting more and like way overly clingy, protective, you know, type thing.
Right.
Or even that the girlfriend isn't giving him the time of day.
Yeah.
Not like the time of day, but like not giving him all those like what he needs.
Right.
Like here, this.
It, sometimes it'll drive you to like
go there.
You know.
Yeah. But you have to see like, does she respond to your texts? Does she call you? Is she actually active in this relationship?
Yeah.
If she is, then I think it's safe to say that she loves you. And even if she isn't, I'd say it's doubtful that she is cheating on you. She just cares a little bit less than you do.
Yeah.
And even then, she does love you, but I mean...
But if a girl's not... if someone's not active in a relationship, that's just... It really messes with the other person.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
It
puts it unbalanced.
Look, I've learned this from personal experience as well. Look for one-word answers. One-word answers are bad. You know, that's... Hey, babe, how are you?
Good.
Exactly.
K. Just like one letter K is the worst.
Oh, my God. Hey, sweetie, I'm going to hang out with some friends today. Is that cool with you? K.
Here, wait.
One letter answers.
I have an option that you can try and use if it comes down to it. You can try and be short with her because, you know, if you're short with her, she will care.
See, that's starting to play the game.
And then it turns into a game.
But, if it's at that point where you want her to care about you that badly and you aren't willing to just drop it, you have to play the game.
That's true.
You have to.
It's true.
But
you do.
If you don't want to play the game, drop it, find somebody else.
But that's a year. Okay.
I know. We feel this. But, it can be troublesome, and you don't want to hang on to it if it's that troublesome.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you can solve it, don't drop it. If you can't, then, I mean...
Life goes on. There's plenty of fish in the sea.
She's not going to change.
If you had a girlfriend once, nothing is stopping you from getting a second girlfriend.
That's very true.
It's so true. Think about it that way. I want to get on to the next email because I still want to touch on parents a little bit. Parents and teens. Because it's a big thing. Hey, Dave. I've been talking to this very sweet guy online lately. And even though I've never met him, brackets, he is in Las Vegas and I am in West Virginia, on brackets, I feel I am falling in love with him.
Nope.
I do not understand why this is. Can you give me some reasons why this happens? Thanks, Julie. Julie.
Okay, wait. Online or video?
Video chat, maybe.
I'd say it's the same thing.
Here, Aiden,
I'd say it's the same exact thing.
Take it.
I mean, if you aren't with somebody to gain that connection, there's no connection. Straight up. And think about it. There's probably an age difference in this, right?
Yeah.
Probably.
Online.
So,
maybe.
But wait, we can't assume that. Yeah,
we can't
assume that. But honestly, think about it like this. I hate to put it this way because I am one of them, but no. I'm a guy. I'm not this type of guy.
One of them.
All guys try to manipulate you. And it sounds like so far, since you're already falling in love with this guy,
manipulate you in what sense? In the sense of in a sexual sense?
I mean, not really. Just mentally. They try and get you to...
like them.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'd say this guy isn't one to be trusted.
Okay, but you don't know that. Okay,
check this.
Too deep. Wait. I'm sorry. I gotta grab this. Let me just reread the email really quick.
Okay, go.
Okay, I've been talking to this very sweet guy online lately, and even though I have never met him, he's in Las Vegas and I'm in West Virginia. Okay? Right there. Okay? First of all, he's a very sweet guy online, and the never met him.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel I'm falling in love with him. Okay. First of all, I'm sorry. This literally just goes back to what we were saying. Think about this. Okay. Yes, I totally believe. I do believe at love at first sight. At first sight, not first instant message.
Yeah.
I don't know. But why? Okay. And then I want to tie into this. Why do people go online to meet other people? Because either one, they they're either a bit, just like, you know, they have a hard time, they're a bit insecure with themselves, going up and physically saying, hey, what's up, I think you're really attractive, I want to take you out, you know? Because that's difficult these days, man, you know? Like, unless you're pretty comfortable with who you are as a person, you know, it takes nerves, you know? And some people just have a much easier time doing it online, which is completely fine, which is completely cool, and a lot of times it works out, you know? But, you know, I don't think you should say you're falling in love with him. I don't understand why this is. Can you give me some reasons for why this happens?
That is the part that I think we need to focus on. I do not understand why this is.
Can you give me some reasons for why this happens?
Why wouldn't you understand if it's real? Just think about it like that. Mm. And I hate to demean it if you really do have feelings for him, but I don't feel like that's the case. I feel like you've been tricked, and I hate to say it, but I think that's the case.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you understand if it's genuine?
Also, Las Vegas and West Virginia.
I don't think it's even worth it.
I don't know how old you are, but good luck paying for the plane ticket or
like,
gas.
I just feel like nothing.
Oh boy.
Gas.
Nothing can really come out of a relationship if you guys are halfway across the country. No, like, not saying nothing can happen, but you met him on the internet. Like, if this goes back to like the teen perception of love.
Yeah.
And like, oh my God, I think I'm in love. I've talked to this guy on the internet.
Right.
You know, it's honestly, I think you should meet someone at school.
Yeah.
And just ask and why you don't understand why you have these feelings.
Yeah.
If you had these feelings and you really felt strongly for him, wouldn't you understand why?
Yeah, totally. I agree. And I'm going to give some reasons for why this happens. Some reasons for why this happens is, one, this could be, like, possibly your very first time where you actually, you know, become completely comfortable talking with another guy. You know, I don't know how old you are. You know, I don't know, you know, if you've had prior boyfriends or whatnot. But that is a reason why this could be happening, because this is the most open you've gotten with a guy, because it's over the internet.
Yep.
And you can speak, you know, very openly. And when you know, even over text or over email, like when you open up to a person, that's a part within you that you're allowing another person
it
to
makes,
see. You
it,
know?
It makes your emotions vulnerable.
Which almost, I don't want to say creates an illusion, but creates a new emotion within yourself that you haven't connected to before, and it feels damn good.
Yeah.
It feels damn good.
But consider whether or not it's a feigned emotion.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Guys, I want to get on to
the next email.
I was gonna say, Kevy, actually, I want to get on to talking about parents. That is today's specific show topic. I want to catch up on some emails that we haven't got to, so we can, you know, help those people out there that need our help. Parents. Let's start it. So this specifically on parents, we want to talk about, we want parents to, hey, you guys can call us in on the show live, talk to us, tell us what you think about what we're about to say. 323-203-0815. Once again, that number is 323-203-0815. All right. I want to start out by saying, as a teenager, having wonderful parents who I would do anything in the world for and who I love. Okay. There's totally times where I want to pull my hair out. Like,
it's a love-hate relationship.
I know, I would never hate my
parents. No, not like it's, hate, but
it's,
like...
It's a love... Yeah. It's a love...
Frustration
disconnect.
Yeah.
It's like a love relationship slash disconnect relationship. Parents, I'm going to say this just for a start, and if you disagree with me, that's totally fine. There's nothing I can do.
Call in the show.
And we'll talk. I have to say, you know, this is their stage of experimentation. This teenage years, this is where, you know, the seed has been planted, and you start to grow a little stem, and now, you know, now we're just like, we're kind of stretching just to go like that. You know, like, I just use an analogy of flower for life, because that's awesome. But, like, just think about that. Think of, like, this is, like, where we're stretching. You know, this is, like, where we're kind of, like, getting a glimpse of the sun and, like, starting to open our eyes and open our minds, and you know, our brains are developing into new ways of thinking, new ways of perceiving life, you know, new ways that when we were younger, we didn't even fathom, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, don't, I guess the number one thing that I want to get on is, like, don't over-parent. Aiden has his hand up. Yes.
I have a hand up after.
Yes. Yes, Aiden.
Okay, so, parents. You have been parenting your children, I'd hope, for their whole childhood. You've been to their soccer games, you've been driving them, you've been feeding them, you've been putting Band-Aids on their fingers, you've been kissing them, you've been putting them to bed. And
story time.
And they have always needed that.
Right.
They've always needed you there because they were still children. At this age, you have to understand.
This age bracket, children, meaning Aiden?
What?
Age,
teenage years.
Age. Teenage
yeah,
years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This not age, too young, though. Like,
yeah, like 15 say, up. Yeah, 14, 15 up.
I'd say probably
16.
Yeah.
16,
16,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'd get a car. 16. This age is where they start being capable of being independent. And if you don't give them that, they can't grow.
Right.
They will always have you right by their side, and they aren't going to be able to be successful because you didn't give them that space to grow and find out who they are, because you're giving them their identity at this point based on your constrictions.
Right. Yeah.
So you have to let them form their own identity.
This is just from personal experience, and it definitely varies from kid to kid, but just what I've seen and how I've been raised, I feel that it's good for, like, parents. You should be there for, like, the whole kid's life, and, like, it's very good to, like, protect them and, like try to, like, keep them in line and stuff.
Right.
But once they hit those, like, 16 and up years, 16, you 17. Have to give them their space. Because I've seen too many times with friends where their parents hover over them and don't let them out, like, don't let them do this. And that's when the kids rebel the most and get into the most trouble and just start doing bad things. Because the more the parent hovers, the more the kid is going to want to rebel. And, like, just that little bit of freedom can save it from, like, those horrible consequences.
I would say, give them a path and let them walk it.
Right.
Show them, like, as they're growing up, instill morals that you want them to have when they're older.
Right.
Let them know that lying isn't proper.
Right.
Let them just be a good person.
The basics,
they veer off a little, blaze some of their own trail, so be it. That's what they're meant to do. Then, I mean, let them do it. But also acknowledge that if it's going somewhere improper, you have to tell them, like, listen, you have to not do this. It's bad.
Right.
You aren't going the right place.
You should always be watching over your kids.
Yes.
Right.
But let them,
walk it. Yeah.
Kevin?
Yeah.
What you were saying about, you know, parents constricting their kids and they try to rebel. Yes, that is
so true.
And the thing about it, which I find to be the disconnect between, you know, parents and teenagers is, okay, I'm just going to use this as a hypothetical situation, weed.
Okay.
Kids, you're 16, 17 years old, you know, there's other kids that go to your school, hey, man, dude, you know, smoke some weed, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, bruh,
you know. Okay, well, you're gonna question it. Well, you know, some kids don't. A lot of kids do, though. You know, it's like the experimental stage. Marijuana, you know, drinking. Oh, what's it like to be drunk, you know?
Yeah.
Parents, I will tell you, you go up to 95, I'll say 95, because I know some parents that are kind of like, hey, just do whatever you want, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
95% of parents, if Teen Trends and Teen Trends and Crew were to go up to a parent's door, just knock on the door and be like, how would you feel about your 17-year-old kid, you know,
getting drunk at a party?
Getting drunk at a party.
They'd no.
Get out, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not the one offering the alcohol. It's a simple question, you know? But that's the part where the teen should take it upon themselves to be like, okay, I'm going to think logically here. If I'm honest with my parents, and my parents are honest with me, and if I sit down and I have a logical and a real conversation.
Civilized,
no yelling, no anger, just, hey guys, real talk. I know that you would get pissed at me if I went and did this.
Yeah.
But here's the dilemma. I'm a little bit curious, right? I kind of want to know what things are like, you know? How would you feel about me trying this, experimenting with this, you know, once at home or something like that? You know, just like something to where you guys can come to a compromise, because honestly, those kids that rebel, the parents that would say no, if a kid like went up to a parent and was like, hey, I want to try drinking, can I try it at the house? And the parent was just like, absolutely not. No, there's no alcohol going in your body until you're 21. You know, like one of those things.
Your kid's going to go
do
it.
That's the kind of kid that's going to go out, get drunk, and then, you know, not even if something bad happens. You know, he's just go out, you get drunk, you come home, you're all hungover, and the parents have no idea. That's not the ideal, like, situation.
That's not
that
a good relationship.
It's not. Yeah. Go.
This is a message to parents out there. Like, the more you shun upon those things, the less likely your kids are going to come up to you and tell you what they're doing. Like, if parents are always wondering, oh, why can't my kid talk to me? I remember we had that email earlier, like, my kid doesn't connect with me. That is because they are so scared of telling you the truth. And, like, honestly, like, I know kids, typical, stereotypical, like, goody-two-shoes, you know, all A's,
quote-unquote,
never done anything bad, who have drank before, have told their parents about it, and have gotten grounded for a long time over it.
Yeah.
Like, if you want your kids to be able to talk to you, you have to, one, give them that little bit of freedom and be a little bit more lenient, and two, like, listen to what they say and don't punish them for everything they
grounding
do bad.
Grounding does
you know?
Nothing.
Grounding makes
nothing.
You want to do it more.
Oh my gosh, grounding literally makes you just like, excuse my French, fuck this.
Yeah,
you know?
Like,
grounding is just like, why am I grounded? I'm in the house on a Saturday night. Is that a joke? You know?
Yeah.
Okay. But really, 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 parents, good threats, good things to where, like, let's say that your son or daughter does go to a party, you know, doesn't tell you, and, you know, gets drunk. You know, she doesn't drive, he doesn't drive or anything, because that's just crossing the line. If you drive under an influence, I think that's probably one of the stupidest things a human being can do.
Quick message to teens. Yeah. If you are going to do this, like, drink, if you are going to drink, because we know people drink at parties, if you are going to smoke marijuana at a party or anything like that, be responsible. Do not do anything
stupid at all.
Don't be an idiot. It's not worth your life. It's not worth getting in trouble. Yeah. It's not worth it.
That's, you know, that's another line that kids cross. That is another line that kids cross, which all ties into this.
That's they, when parents can step in.
Yeah, not necessarily being an idiot. Let's put it in. No, you know, kids cross the line of knowing their boundaries, knowing what is. It all comes down to logic. I find it always comes down to logic. Yeah. What is logical and illogical? Okay, well, I'm at this party. Sure. I'll have a few
Do I have
beers.
A designated you know, driver? Do I have a ride home before I start drinking?
You know?
Don't just jump into it. Think about what's going to happen if you do this. Think about the consequences.
Right.
That is probably one moral that your parents have instilled in you, that you will think ahead of your actions.
Yeah.
So make sure you have a plan if you are going to do this illegal activity. And, you know, just be safe.
This is going to be my scenario at home when I'm older with my children. Son, I have experimented before. I have. You come to me, you ask me completely honestly, and, you know, you do it at home, go for it, dude. But don't abuse it.
Yeah.
And
moderation.
Honestly, if you,
moderation
I don't want you
key.
Out in the world risking this. Mm. I would much rather you be in our home doing this.
Right.
Yeah.
Safety is an aspect that parents are pretty worried about when regarding their children.
Oh, totally.
And honestly, if you think that the harm is coming from the alcohol or from the weed, then you've got it all skewed, because it's not. It's coming from the scenario they're putting themselves in when they're doing that.
Right. And,
so,
you know, of course there is, you know, harm in alcohol and marijuana, especially, you know, if we're all talking right now in moderation. Like, everything we're speaking of, we're speaking in moderation.
Like, a once-a-month party.
Like, you know, we're not talking like, oh, it's the weekend, let's go do this. You know, like
every weekend,
that's not cool, man. You know,
but
you
if your kid wants to go to a party and you're just that super strict parent, like, maybe let them, but make sure they're responsible.
Yeah, let them, you know, make sure they're responsible.
But really, the more you, like, over-parent, the more they're going to not tell you things, and that's when things get dangerous, because you don't know.
honestly, if my son comes up to me when he's like 16, hey, Dad, I'm going to go to a party tonight. Then, first thing I would ask, yeah, sure, son. Are you going to drink? Hopefully, he's going to be completely open with me.
Yep.
I am very understandable when it comes to nearly everything.
Right, right, right.
And I will say, then if he says he's going to drink a little, yeah, sure. I'll be there at, 12 to pick you up.
Yeah.
Make sure they have a ride.
Right.
If they
don't,
you're that ride.
For sure.
Bring them back home.
For sure.
They'll sleep in bed. They'll be good.
And say the kid says, I'm not going to drink.
Right.
You should still give him the talk.
Right, right,
like,
right. Totally.
If you need anything at all,
and
I will be here.
You gotta
give me
a
call.
You gotta be honest. You gotta
literally
be honest.
The first time I told my parents I was going to a party, my mom and my dad were so amazingly understanding. Like, I didn't tell them if I was going to do anything. I didn't know if I was going to do anything, but they told me if anything happens, no matter what, no matter what's going on, we will be there for you. And
that's sick. Is
what made,
that's
like,
cool.
That's what made that experience a good experience.
I want to move on to another aspect of parenting, because we're losing time, and all we've been talking about is substance abuse.
Let's get off that topic.
Okay, another huge aspect of parenting and teens, which this right here is another key to unlocking the door of a teen mind, is listening to problems. Listen to teens' issues. We have hormones. Oh,
we're
my
drama
God.
Queens.
Hormones. Dude, we take the smallest things, we make them a big deal, and I want to put this little side note. You make everything as big as a deal as you allow it to be, even if you are a teenager. That part of your brain has been developed to realize that. Coming back. If your parent or if your teens have an issue, if they have something that is on their minds, if they look like they're sad, just be like, don't be one of those parents that's like, hey, what's wrong? Are you okay? Like, talk to me. And if they're like, no, I don't want to. Hey, talk to me. No.
No, you have to talk to me.
No, it's not like that at all. Approach it as a friend. Approach your child, still with the parent, being their parent and like having that love and that parental respect for them, but approach it from more like a friend point of view, like, hey, Kev, is everything all right? Hey, dude, like if they're depressed or something, knock on their door. Hey, is everything cool? Like, you just seem a little bit down. No, this happened. Oh, you want to talk? Like, I've totally been there. Like, you want to talk? And then usually they'll be like, sure.
Yeah.
This
is just a message to parents. I'm not a parent, so I don't know. But this is how I would perceive myself in the future. There is definitely a fine line between parenting and being their friend. And it's up to you and your spouse to draw those lines together. Because if you're not working together, that's very unhealthy for your relationship. But personally, I just think that you have to come up with different scenarios, talk it out with each different speed bump in the road, and find where that line is between friendship and parenting.
You also have to consider how orthodox the parenting style used to be, and how
times are changing.
Yeah.
Times are changing.
Just consider that.
Right. Times are changing. Guys, this is Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. I want to thank you all so much for being on the show. It has been a wonderful Sunday.
Thank you very much for listening, you guys.
We got Aiden once again.
Yo,
Aiden
yo.
In the studio. We got Kevin in the studio.
Thanks for listening, guys.
And I'm your host, David Cohen. Thank you very much. This is Teen Trends with Dave and Friends, LA Talk Radio. We are here to talk every Sunday from 1 to 2. And it's a beautiful day, beautiful day. You guys have a wonderful Sunday. See you next time. Bye-bye.